DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Quarterback recruiting is a tough, tough business. It's been tough forever. It's gotten even tougher in recent years. Guys come in, they look to play right away, and if they don't play right away, they are looking to leave. This is just the nature of it. I think a lot of times people assume that quarterbacks and their quick trigger when it comes to pulling the transfer pushing the transfer button is about somehow some sort of prima donna belief or, you know, something along those lines. And I think a lot of times quarterbacks actually get painted in a bad light in this regard. The fact of the matter is, if you're a defensive lineman and you're not playing, you can switch to offensive line. If you're an offensive tackle and you're not playing, you can switch to offensive guard. Wide receivers can become cornerbacks. Linebackers can become running backs. Running backs can become linebackers. We see position changes all the time. It's a little bit harder for a quarterback to switch positions. Some people think it's because quarterbacks don't want to be positions other than quarterback. But the fact of the matter is, quarterback is such a specialized skill set that those skills don't always necessarily translate as easily to other positions. We see lots of guys try to change positions from quarterback, and most of the time they don't really stick. So at a quarterback, if you're not playing on your team, you're looking to go find another team where you can play. This is the way that football always works, and this is how things are currently working at Georgia as well. There was a competition. It was between Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. That competition, at least for now, was won by Jake Fromm. This is the normal operating procedure when it comes to college football. And unfortunately, the aftermath of that is the risk that one of these guys might transfer. In fact, Kirby Smart, who oversees all of this when it comes for Georgia, foreshadowed all of this way back in the summer when he acknowledged the current state of affairs when it comes to recruiting quarterbacks and keeping them happy on his roster. And he even told us then what it would be that he would hope to tell a Jake Fromm or a Justin Fields if they became dissatisfied with their status compared to the other on a team like 2018 or even 2019. Here is Kirby Smart from back in the summer that sets us up for where we're going today.
I would argue that if you're a parent of a quarterback, that you would say, you know what, where's my son going to get the best development? Like, where's he going to get the best reps, learn to play a quarterback position like it is in the NFL, not necessarily play first, but where's he going to learn how to play the position and sit in a meeting room where they teach you protections and the things you got to learn to play at the next level? Because they don't draft you at the next level just based on your play performance. They want to see what system you played in. How did you play? Did you grow as a quarterback? Have you learned? It's tough. It's tough keeping them around because they all are used to going where they can play.
So Kirby Smart's very honest. He says, I can't promise you playing time, but I do believe I can promise you development that can get you to the NFL. And Kirby Smart even acknowledges, for some quarterbacks, that's not going to be enough. Some quarterbacks are going to want to be, you know, guaranteed something. They're going to, you know, have some sort of sense of entitlement that says, hey, I deserve this. This ought to be mine. I should be given this. Kirby Smart says, I can't promise you that, but I can promise you development. I believe I can get you to the NFL, and eventually it may work out to the tune of playing time here at a program like Georgia if you're willing to stick around. But as Kirby Smart said, that pitch is not going to work for every quarterback. And right now, as you're probably well aware, it may not have worked with Justin Fields. You may have seen last night, Dan Wolken, USA Today, the first one to tweet this out. In fact, I'll show it to you on the screen. Breaking, Wolken writes, highly touted quarterback Justin Fields intending to transfer from Georgia. And then Wolken had a story there at USAtoday.com. And I want to reiterate something I said off the top of the program. This is just normal operating procedure for football. It hasn't happened at Georgia a ton, although I guess Jacob Eason did transfer after last season, but it happens across the sport all the time every year in recent years. I saw a stat that's been kicked around a lot. I believe I'm right about this. Since 2010, a top two quarterback in the 24/7 sports composite player rating has transferred every year going back to 2010. So this is just normal stuff. Fields is a top two quarterback just behind Trevor Lawrence in last year's recruiting cycle, and a lot of these guys choose to transfer. In Fields' case, he may be choosing to transfer quickly. This is just how football gets done. It's the business. It's a business for Georgia. It's a business for Fields, and they're both going about their deliberations in a business-like manner. But what I can't tolerate, and what I want to call out today on this show, and to the extent that I have any platform whatsoever on this show, I want to call despicable what's despicable when I see it, is another tweet from Dan Wolken. I don't mean this is despicable on Wolken's part, but whoever's feeding this to Wolken, whoever's trying to generate this as some sort of storyline, as some sort of narrative, is absolutely reprehensible. Let me show you the tweet from Wolken. If you're listening on the radio or the podcast, I'll read it to you. Here's what Wolken writes on Twitter, and this is also included in his story at USA Today. Wolken says, I am guessing the racist remark from the baseball player. His name's Adam Sasser. He's no longer connected to the university. Could be the foundation of Fields building a case to be eligible next year, given how lenient the NCAA has been on waivers. I could see him playing in 2019. So what Dan Wolken is saying, and you'll remember this from earlier in the year, and a baseball player named Adam Sasser was overheard shouting some heinous, reprehensible, racist things in the stadium, and he was brought to the attention of authorities and eventually, you know, kicked off the baseball team and I guess, you know, kicked out of school. Adam Sasser is nowhere to be found anymore. But what someone is apparently telling Dan Wolken is, because that thing happened with Adam Sasser, we're going to try to spin some sort of yarn here that Georgia's all of a sudden an uncomfortable place for Justin Fields to be, and therefore he got to be eligible to play right away. And what that does in my mind is, it takes what ought to be a normal, just part of doing business football story. Quarterbacks compete, one wins, one loses, one guy decides to transfer. And all of a sudden now you try to paint it with a heinous brush. All of a sudden now you try to make it into something dark and sinister. Make Georgia look bad just to free Justin Fields from a decision that maybe he now regrets. To come beat at a program like Georgia where the competition is as intense as it is with a guy like Jake Fromm, who just a year before Fields had gotten on campus had led Georgia to the Rose Bowl and the college football playoff. I don't fault Justin Fields for this. Justin Fields is a freshman in college. I don't even fault Fields' family for this. You know, they're going through all of this for the only time they'll go through it. But somebody somewhere is in trying to influence this story. I believe it's outside the bubble of Dog Nation. I believe it's probably even outside the bubble of the Fields family. Somebody somewhere is trying to turn this into a negative controversy when what it ought to be is just a regular football story. And that, I don't think we should abide. That, I think we should call it what it is. And Dan Wolken, by the way, on Twitter, went on to say something else, because a lot of Georgia fans did push back on the report, the timing of the report, 2 days before the start of early signing period, and they had a little bit of a problem with that and some of the tone of the way this was reported. Dan Wolken pushed back at them on Twitter last night. He says, UGA fans, colon, this is his message to UGA fans, chill with the signing day conspiracy theories. I report news when it's news. I don't even quite understand how this story hurts your recruiting. But listen to this. Wolken says, I'm a truth guy. Wolken's a truth guy. And it's good for everyone involved to sign under accurate pretenses. Once again, that's Dan Wolken from USA Today coming down off his perch high atop Mount Olympus to explain to us how the world works. Here's the problem. And this is why I think so many rank and file, not just college football fans, but just sort of folks in general from all walks of life, even outside the boundaries of sports, have a problem sometimes with these well-known reporters, because in Wolken's case, I think he's attempting to lecture us on something that we're smart enough to figure out without his, you know, interjection here. We're not naive. Obviously, I would never tell Dan Wolken, if you get this information, you shouldn't report it. I mean, he's a careerist. He's looking to further himself. This is good for his career. I would never say, hey, sit on this story to help Georgia, even though it hurts you. You should sit on this story and not report that Justin Fields intends to transfer. I'd never tell him that. That would be ridiculous. If I had big story, big news I could break, I'd probably want to break it too. It'd be good for my career. But what Wolken seems to be ignoring or seems to be failing to acknowledge is that the person who gave him the scoop, the person who gave him the news, does have an agenda and does want the story covered in a certain way. And I would be so bold as to suggest wants to make sure the Adam Sasser story and the racist remarks that Sasser used, that no one disputes that Sasser used them, that he wants to make sure that becomes a part of this. Hey, when you report this scoop, we'll give you the scoop, but we also need you to make sure you remind folks what Adam Sasser said in the student section of a football game, 1,000 yards from anywhere that Justin Fields was standing. Sasser and Fields, for all I know, never even met. The truth is, I don't know that. But there's certainly no belief that Sasser is somehow deeply connected to Justin Fields. Somebody that's feeding this story out to the media certainly has an agenda about how they want this covered. And that's the part I think the Georgia fans should push back on. If Justin Fields does intend to transfer, I think Georgia fans ought to wish him well. Honestly, I'd really, really wish that Fields would stick around. I really, really wish that Fields would be a part of this team in 2019. I think Georgia's going to be worse off if Fields is not here. I truly do. But he lost the starting quarterback job. It was a competition. Fromm won it. Fields lost it. Now, I think if Fields stuck around for a couple more years, there's a chance that maybe at some point in time, Fields may reemerge and maybe Fields beats out Fromm. That's just the way the football works. But if that's not good enough for Fields and he chooses to transfer, that's his choice to make. But how this business goes about being done, I think matters here. And if someone connected to this story wants to create some sort of narrative that interjects race as a way of providing leverage for Fields to become immediately eligible to the school that he goes to, I think that's despicable. I think the Georgia fans should call it that way. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Good to have you with us live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon with our friends in the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and available in podcast form, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And boy, you know, it's nights like last night where, you know, y'all know I'm a fan, and I don't, you know, love the news itself. The fact that Fields is strongly considering a transfer, but I sure was proud of the Dog Nation coverage of that all over the place. Connor Riley, Michael Carvell, Jeff Sintel, Chip Towers, Mike Griffith, all over every angle of this story with original reporting, sourcing folks close to the scene here to combat a lot of that stuff that's out there in the national media. Really good stuff from the worldfamousdognation.com. By the way, we appreciate Marco's Pizza making our show possible every day because you know that Marco's treats every day like game day. They always bring their best. That means dough made fresh, an original sauce recipe, and three signature cheeses on every pizza. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. Hello Primo, you can say that today by ordering your pizza from Marcos.com. We'll get Jeff Sintel ourselves here in a moment. Before that, I want to go around the doghouse here, presented by Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. They got a great offer for you. I want to tell you more about that coming up in a moment. But let me take a moment, though, to address some of the really good reporting that's been out there from Dog Nation over the course of the last couple of days. First of all, if you want to go back to last night with the Fields rumors flying all over the place, our buddy Chip Towers had a chance to check in with Joanne Claudrick Fields, who is the stepmother to Justin Fields. And at the time, Mrs. Fields here kind of pumps the brakes a little bit on some of the narrative that was out there, dominant as it was in the national media. And we'll try to sort of square all of this together with the information we've learned as of late. But here's what Mrs. Fields told to Chip Towers and Dog Nation last night in terms of the Justin Fields transfer idea. "We're not at liberty to discuss anything," she says. "We're not confirming or denying anything. We have not made any decisions." So it's difficult to know from that is if that's her, just her not wanting to talk with the story as of yet, or is that her and the Fields camp leaving the door open that maybe Justin would reconsider and decide to stay at the Georgia program. We don't really know that based on what Miss Fields has to say there. But we do know, based on some other reporting from Mike Griffith at DogNation.com, that while the Fields camp doesn't really want to go on the record as of yet on this, apparently, specific conversations have been had with the University of Georgia about all of this. Here is the report from Mike Griffith at DogNation.com, who wrote this morning, "Georgia freshman quarterback Justin Fields has spoken with the Bulldog coaching staff about his intention to explore transfer. A source with direct knowledge of the situation said Fields talked to Georgia on Monday about the NCAA process and potentially leaving Kirby Smart's program." So that's Mike Griffith from DogNation.com. Those are sort of the latest facts of the moment. Really good reporting from Dog Nation when it comes to all of that. I think one of the challenges here moving forward is that deciphering what really is going on is going to be very difficult to do because, unfortunately, there are lots of instances where the public and private behavior in a story like this don't necessarily seem to completely line up. They don't necessarily seem to be completely cohesive. Let me go back to July of 2017 as an example of that. Before Justin Fields joined the Georgia program, the story that the Fields camp was telling then about their experience and what they expected from Fields' first year on campus is apparently very different then than it turned out to be in real time here in 2018. Here is Fields, quoted by Jeff Sintel in Dog Nation, July 2017, about not necessarily being in that big of a hurry to play right away. Justin says to Jeff, "I think there's a study where most NFL quarterbacks come after a redshirt freshman year. So playing freshman year is not a big deal to me. Of course, I want to play kind of early," but Justin Fields goes on to say, "but waiting 1 year out and learning the offense and just getting better and gaining that chemistry with my teammates will help me. That's not that big of a deal to me." So that's what Justin Fields said in July of 2017 about, "if I come to Georgia, I'm not in that big of a hurry to play right away. I've seen quarterbacks going to the NFL after being a redshirt freshman. I'm really comfortable just waiting my turn and learning and growing and getting better." Well, that's the public statement from Justin Fields. But privately, at least in what was not intended for a public view, the behavior and the words were quite different. I was really struck last night by a video tweeted out by Zach Klein from WSB TV Channel 2, who was able to capture Justin Fields walking off the field in Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina, after Georgia beat South Carolina in blowout fashion in game two of the season and in the SEC opener. In fact, we'll show you some of the video. I'm not going to play the audio because it is explicit with its language. But what the video shows is Fields being, according to the lip readers and those who've listened closely to the audio, Fields being greatly dissatisfied with not playing very much against South Carolina, saying that all he did was hand the football off and he didn't do fill in the blank, which is an expletive essentially complaining about his role in that game. That's game two of your freshman season after you had said just a few months prior that you'd have been okay with a red shirt, or, you know, about a year or so before that, you'd have been okay with a red shirt. I mean, Jake Fromm had done big things for Georgia in the season prior to Fields arriving on campus. I don't think that video paints Fields in the best possible light. And I'm hoping that if Fields does decide to stick around at UGA, the private behavior and the public behavior will more closely align with each other. I think Fields is better than who he showed himself to be in that video. And if he sticks around at Georgia, if he decides to do that, I think we'll see an example of that. All right, it's Around the Doghouse here, presented by Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. You know, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa is the perfect place to go during the holidays. You can also use right now a special Brasstown Valley Dog Nation special, which is only for Dog Nation Daily listeners. This is a great offer. Listen to this. You can get 20% off any room booked between now and March 31st. Just simply go to BrasstownValley.com and use the promo code DOG18. Once again, that's D-A-W-G, DOG18. The discount's also available until December 31st. It's subject to availability, and blackout dates do apply. But check out BrasstownValley.com for more on that great offer for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. All right, it's great to have you here today on Dog Nation Daily. We got a lot more on Justin Fields, unfortunately. But in terms of how all of this impacts recruiting and a look at what's going to happen tomorrow as early signing period does begin, let's get ready to welcome in Jeff Sintel right now.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
There is no person I'd rather talk to right now than a guy that knows the principals involved in this story all very well. His reporting over the years has been top-notch, and we'll lean on him heavily in a day like this, just the same way we will our buddy Chip Towers and Mike Griffith, who've all been all over this Field story and the possibilities that this might include. Let's welcome in Jeff Sintel here. Jeff for our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. This is not the conversation I thought we would be having or hope we would be having here the day before the early signing period begins, but this is what the job entails for today. Reports are out there, initially from Dan Wolk and USA Today, confirmed by Mike Griffith at Dog Nation. Where are you and what do you make of everything you've heard about Justin Fields over the last, I would say, 16 to 18 hours or so?
Yeah, first of all, there's a lot to process and there's a lot to think about. I think the first thing, the rational Georgia fan, and this is probably not the week for that, guys. The first thing the rational Georgia fan needs to do is, the only thing you can bet on is an individual with Justin Fields' talent to make the best decision for his future path. And I think he did that when he chose Georgia. Lots of folks can wonder what has changed for Georgia since he came to Georgia. I mean, Jacob Eason is no longer in the picture since he committed to Georgia. I it's really quick for people to make these harsh, rash decisions, but that's kind of like a risky throw on a football field. The natural thing folks need to check down to and think is, if this is a young man that's going to make his best decision, and if his best decision is no longer at the University of Georgia, I think these young men compete so hard and work so hard at Georgia to get on the field, and they provide such a premium effort, given their all for the University of Georgia. If a young man doesn't want to be there, then that's his prerogative to get out of there. Remember, Kirby Smart has said plenty of times that he wants players to be at the University of Georgia. But I think right now the optics and the timing of all of this are terrible. And it's not even if Justin Fields will transfer. The fact this story leaks right before National Signing Day, it can affect Georgia's signing class. Why? Because Justin Fields is so talented. Justin Fields is the type of player that people look at Georgia and they see Fromm and they see Fields and they think, quarterback is set for the time I will be at Georgia. The horizon is beautiful in Athens for the quarterback position, the game's most important position. And now there's the stark reality that if Justin Fields decides to move on and go to another school, Georgia currently has one scholarship quarterback in the program, and that would be Jay Fromm.
I think you bring up a lot of good points. I want to respond to a lot of it. First of all, something you touched on there at the end about the timing being terrible. I kind of touched on that a little bit before you joined us. I think this is an example, Jeff, of someone trying to weaponize the news. And I don't mean that's necessarily a person that reports this at the national level, but someone is trying to weaponize this, use this against Georgia. The timing is obviously intentional here for the person who leaks this out, for the person who creates this. It was obviously picked to be at this certain time. And I think that Georgia's got to go into this knowing that this is not a peacetime necessarily in terms of battling this kind of stuff. It's got to gird its loins for a public relations battle that I think is going to play out in the national media here over the course of the next couple of weeks. But is there any opportunity for cooler heads to prevail and for, you know, the faint little bit of hope that came from Field's stepmom last night saying no decision has been made yet? Can the toothpaste after all of this be put back in the tube? And, you know, could Justin Fields decide that, hey, you know what, maybe Georgia actually is the best place for me, and sticking around and competing to try to win actually would be the best overall statement about my character? Is there any opportunity for that to still happen? And I'm obviously asking your opinion more so than, you know, any kind of reporting on this point. But is that even possible at this point in time, or has just too much happened in the last few hours?
Yeah, that's a great, great meaty topic to get into, and it calls, you know, an individual, especially in our position, to maybe check down to the logical things to say. The things that I cannot get past here in the Justin Fields story is the current narrative, and let's be clear, this is the potential of a Justin Fields transfer. I hold the opinion here that the culture of competition is what makes Georgia's football program under Coach Kirby Smart different than the previous era. And there's really no other way to sell it or couch it. If Justin Fields, who has just about every checkbox in physical superiority in the head-to-head with Jay Fromm, if he decides to leave, that is clearly an indication that he just doesn't feel he can beat out Jay Fromm, or he can't beat out Jay Fromm in the timeline that he would like to see that happen. I wonder how Georgia fans would react if he comes back. Man, I really don't know how this storyline with the Sugar Bowl even plays out. Like, what's supposed to happen there? Is Justin Fields supposed to get enough reps and make enough plays to fall back in love with the chances of playing for the University of Georgia? I tell you, that is a very delicate tightrope, because what are you trying to do there? You're trying to placate one player at the expense of the current starter, who currently stands not to be the number two player in the 2018 recruiting class, but likely the number two returning college quarterback in college football next season. And that's really a dangerous game I see there, with Fields in the Sugar Bowl playing well. Does he fall back in love with Georgia? Is Georgia going to have to re-recruit him every year after spring practice? This is just really it's a very big problem for Georgia going forward. And the other thing that I guess kind of irks me, Brandon, is there's so many great players in that 2018 class, and they're not playing yet. And maybe the gap between what they've shown on the practice field and on the field might be really close to what the starter has right now, or the veteran player has right now. And those young men are not thinking about transferring or moving on or finding a better position. And there's no one, and Justin Fields has tremendous, transcendent, game-changing talent, but there's no one out there right now that can say Justin Fields should have the starting quarterback job for the University of Georgia right now. If it is, I'd love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you.
Can we keep it real for 1 second? I'm honestly interested in your opinion, because I do think this is a subject we gotta bring up here. I think there's a way to look at this that unfortunately diminishes Kirby Smart a little bit. I showed the video on our program a couple of minutes ago of what Zach Klein tweeted out last night from WSB TV Channel 2 of Justin Fields openly complaining about how he was used in the second game of the season with a starter who had led Georgia to the college football playoff the year before. If Justin Fields was that entitled to playing time, feeling that he was that entitled to playing time. Shouldn't Kirby Smart have anticipated that before he brought him onto the roster? And if you want to fast forward to the very end of the season, when you put the most pivotal play of Georgia's season, the ball in Fields' hands, at a time when he was likely already thinking about where he might be going next year, I wrote in the forum last night at forum.dognation.com, that fake punt on 4th and 11 looks even dumber now, given the fact that you put a guy on the field who apparently wasn't all in on the process. Maybe he sticks around, and maybe in 2019 Fields is all in, and maybe he does buy into the team concept. But as of right now, it certainly seems hard to believe that Fields is totally bought in to the notion of being a member of this team, working in concert with all the other players in this team. Did Smart goof all this up by even bringing him in and admitting he had no plan for Justin Fields the entire time and eventually bringing on Fields in a total disaster on 4th and 11 of the SEC championship game? Is this a Kirby Smart blunder, Jeff?
I just think it's a learning opportunity because I don't know if anybody is really managing this well. Like, most people say that, you know, now Jacob Eason is transferred. Justin Fields is likely in the transfer bond sector right now. And if his name shows up on the transfer portal, it's kind of funny. I think this is an experience that this Georgia staff will learn from a great deal. Just like, you know, in-game management, game management strategy, maybe even fake punts, fake field goals, that sort of thing. And this young coaching staff that's been assembled at Georgia, and they've done a lot of things right, but, you know, the optics of it, I keep coming back to it, Brandon. I mean, I took my 10-year-old son to school this morning, and he started asking me questions, and this is where it kind of hits home to me. He's like, so why is he leaving? Why does he think he's leaving? Why does he want to go somewhere else? And, you know, it was funny, Kenny, because it's almost like out of the mouths of children. My young man said something like, well, aren't there going to be great players there too? Aren't there going to be good players there too? Yeah. And that's the one thing. And, you know, ESPN dropped the report, and there's some no doubt solid sourcing to that. But if he goes to Oklahoma, well, Oklahoma's signing the nation's number one quarterback this year. They've got a guy that was a top 10 quarterback in Jake Fromm's class there. If he goes to Ohio State, there's Tate Martell there. There's another. Dwayne Haskins still has eligibility if he's not supposed to go to the NFL. They have great players everywhere where he's planning to go. And, you know, the thing about this is maybe the old-fashioned notions of competition need to be checked, because this is the reality. And if we what we look at it, those stats came out last night that every one of the nation's top two quarterback prospects going back since 2010, one of the top two quarterbacks in every class has transferred now, or is looking to transfer now, with the lure of what's happening there with Justin Fields. And, you know, lots of people say, you know, hey, his sister's going there. He has recruited for Georgia a lot. He's been a staunch ally. He went an ambassador, hosting a lot of recruits as an example of the new Georgia over the last cycle. It just seems to me that the accelerated timeline, I mean, let's remember the new rules. They could have worked in Justin's favor. He could have went through spring practice. He could have went through four games next year. And if he wasn't liking where everything was going, then he could transfer out. He still remains one play away. And to me, the only logical thing for Justin Fields to have a more enviable situation than Georgia, his home state, his sister playing softball, the school he grew up loving, the only enviable situations to me sound like places where he can go and clearly become the immediate starter. Clearly become a guy that is the A1A on campus. Other thing you got to remember is, where else will he have the running game on the offensive line to protect him and do all his career goals that he would have at the University of Georgia? Florida State's name even comes up here as well,
yeah,
should this transfer happen. And that's another school that simply doesn't have a lot of the pieces that he would be one play away with the keys to the Georgia offense for the 2019 season.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. About the only thing that one of the neighboring schools could promise Fields is playing time. I mean, you look at all the, you know, the schools we once considered as landing spots for Fields. I think they all are in various states of turmoil here. And so we'll see what really matters to him if he does indeed choose to go somewhere else, because the ones that can closest to guarantee him playing time. Can't necessarily guarantee him anything else. It's days like this that I could really use one of those craft cocktails from our friends at Marlowe's Tavern. And I can promise you this, that if you've got some folks in your shopping list you're still trying to buy for, Marlowe's going to make it really easy for you. Either go to your neighborhood tavern or go to marlowestavern.com and get a $50 Marlowe's Tavern gift card. I promise you, anybody in your list is going to like it. And what you're going to like is when you buy that $50 Marlowe's Tavern gift card, they're going to give you a gift as well, a bottle of Michelle Brut sparkling wine. And even better than that, and this is really the deal that you want to take advantage of, if you get a $100 Marlowe's Tavern gift card, either from your neighborhood tavern or from marlowestavern.com, in addition to that Michelle Brut sparkling wine, Marlowe's also going to give you a bonus $20 gift card there as well. So make holiday shopping easier while you still have some time left. Go to marlowestavern.com or the tavern in your neighborhood and take advantage of that great gift card offer, and you'll be really glad that you did. Jeff, let me try to move this story forward back into the realm of what we normally talk about during our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, and that's recruiting. And I don't think you would dispute that if Georgia knew for a fact the field story was going to play out the way it would appear it might be playing out right now, it would have recruited the quarterback position a little differently this recruiting cycle, and the responses that it's gotten from quarterbacks this recruiting cycle would likely have been very different as well. Georgia's heard a lot of no's from quarterbacks who I don't think would have necessarily told Georgia no if they thought there was a chance to be something other than a third-string quarterback, scout team guy buried on the bench. Is it too late to do anything about this now? Does the announcements tomorrow of quarterbacks, when early signing period begins, does that change given this news? And is Georgia going to be gnashing its teeth that it wasn't making a stronger pitch? Now, this year is kind of a weird year where there probably isn't a true blue-chip quarterback, but or at least in my mind anyway. But should, you know, does Georgia now wish it would have been, you know, making better time with some of these quarterbacks ranked a little higher on the prospect list? Where is Georgia quarterback recruiting now with the field situation in flux?
Yeah, I guess the quick way to say that is that everything is attached to a day, but I don't know if there's any recruiting days left. You know, there's an in-state prospect, Zach Calzada. He's a guy that's currently committed to Texas A&M. There's obviously John Rice Plumlee. We wrote about him earlier this week. There's also Dylan Gabriel. I think Georgia's perspective clearly changes now, where the guys that could come in 2019 are not just wait until Justin's done, most likely, in 2021 or 2022. Now it's you would be coming in to be the backup to Jake Fromm in 2019. And I wonder if this changes the way Georgia approaches that blue shirt opportunity with Plumlee. He still can't come in as a mid-year, though. I wonder, it probably definitely increases the appeal for Georgia with Dylan Gabriel. Again, though, this is a guy that's a three-star quarterback prospect, was at one time committed to Army, just recently picked up his third star. So that's very interesting. I bet a lot of recruits out there like the situation at Georgia, like how the pro-style offense fits out. There's just not enough time to do this. I mean, really, this happens after Georgia. This news starts breaking and the whispers start coming out over the weekend. While it has been long rumored, that doesn't give a lot of tangible things for a lot of these recruiting prospects to act. Remember, quarterback is still a position where guys like to have it mostly figured out before their junior year, after their junior seasons, before their junior seasons. And I think should this field narrative play out, it's going to make Georgia look very enticing in the 2020 recruiting realm. But again, that's not what Georgia needs. Should Fields decide to transfer, Georgia needs more scholarship passers for spring practice in 2019. Those currently are very hard to come by.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Jeff, you're a good photographer, and one of the things I always like doing after every Georgia Hunt game is peruse all the photographs that you take of all the recruits there in the stadium. I think, you know, I'm not the first person to coin this phrase, but a picture can be truly worth a thousand words. And oftentimes before Fields enrolled at Georgia, when he showed up at games as a recruit, it was always amazing to me how many other recruits wanted to gather around him. They wanted their picture taken with Fields. I have that on my mind because tomorrow some of those guys that would pose for pictures like that are expected to sign letters of intent with Georgia. There's going to be a flood of negative recruiting here in this final lead up towards the early signing period tomorrow. Now, obviously, it's a dead period, so it can't come from the coaches, but there's going to be whispers coming from, you know, all kinds of corners. Does anybody reconsider their Georgia pledge on the heels of the Fields news here?
Well, That's what one of the things I've done this morning. There's a story up on DogNation.com. Is you wonder about who does this affect? And you have to start on the offensive side of the ball. I think what this story does, and maybe Georgia fans are kind of searching and wondering what to do this morning. I think this story, and I mentioned checkdowns earlier, I think this story is a chance for the Bulldogs to really, I guess the fan base and Dog Nation here in general, to realize what they have in Jay Fromm, but also realize what they have in Dominic Blaylock. Dominic Blaylock is a no-drama recruit. Georgia, the potential here, Georgia might lose a five-star quarterback, a guy that might have been good for throwing Dominic Blaylock at least 20 touchdown passes in his Georgia career. And Blaylock is still very firmly entrenched at Georgia. So is Ryland Doty. I think the name that it really speaks to right here has got to be Jaden Hazelwood.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaden Hazelwood, the five-star receiver. This story is so important, Brandon. I'm glad we've spoken about this topic for about 15 minutes now before mentioning Jaden. But this was already a, can Georgia get back with Jaden? Can Georgia close with Jaden Hazelwood late? Can they overcome? Can they show more offense? Can he decide to go back to the things that made him commit to Georgia in the first place? Hazelwood was a Georgia fan before he was a Georgia recruiting target. And now, let's just face it, man. Fields, that relationship was one of the biggest selling points and driving points for him to likely choose Georgia in the end. And if we're being very responsible and calculating with our reporting, you have to feel that Georgia's lure for him would be diminished if Justin Fields is no longer on the roster.
Jeff, I totally agree, and my opinion on this is based 1,000,000% on your own reporting. Your sourcing on the Hazelwood stuff has been exceptional, and I can think of at least two instances. There may be more, but I can think specifically of two when you asked Hazelwood about Georgia, and Hazelwood mentioned Fields specifically as the reason why he was committed to Georgia, and the reason why he was not planning on going anywhere else was because of Justin Fields. There are at least two instances where he said that. I'm going to take Hazelwood at his word on this, and I'm now going to assume that January 5th is less likely to be good news for Georgia and Hazelwood. If that be the case, so be it. You know, listen, ultimately Georgia needs players that want to be at Georgia, and Hazelwood's really good. Fields is really good. If they're playing elsewhere, they'll probably have good careers, and I wish them well. But the facts are the facts, and based on Hazelwood's own words to you over the last year or so, there's no way this paints as good news for Hazelwood on January 5th.
The simple way to say that is Georgia's attraction to Jaden Hazelwood cannot remain the same, and it cannot be increased with the news of Justin Fields potentially moving on, because you had to think, Hazelwood and Fromm, at the most, they would have two seasons together. Hazelwood has at least three seasons of college football before he's thinking about the NFL. It just makes a complicated and plot-turn decision for Hazelwood even more tenuous, and it adds another chapter, another verse, more twists and turns for that as well. And again, this is, you know, if the one person, you think about this, and I'm trying to think about this from every set of cleats that this one affects, this is actually probably good news for Jaden Hazelwood, because he can now make the decision on Georgia and make it free of the fact that he expects Justin Fields to be there. I think this helps him in making his decision about whether or not to go to Georgia, because it gives him a very clear picture now of what could possibly be Georgia's quarterback situation going forward.
Yeah, so let me not beat around the bush, and maybe I've got my facts wrong on this, but I also think of a guy like Nolan Smith as being a good friend of Justin Fields. I feel like I've seen a lot of pictures of those two guys side by side together. Nolan has said that he's 100% shutting it down, completely locked in with Georgia. You've believed that he was rock solid to UGA all the time. Is there any chance that Nolan might reconsider here in this final night before signing day?
I think that's just very hard. I know some people on our message board, we're talking about, who's the possible flip? Can Georgia go after a guy like Ryan Helinski, who liked Georgia? Helinski's a guy, I just don't see that happening. He became so indebted, ingrained in the South Carolina football program. It's been his mindset for months. He's got the feeling of Columbia in his veins, and I think that's the way it is there with Nolan Smith. I remember Nolan telling me last year that he wanted to play with a dual threat, and Justin Fields coming to Georgia was something that enhanced Georgia's chances or cemented his commitment at that time. I just think it's really too late. He's really too settled That's a recruitment that's really too settled for him to back up at the 11th hour right now. And I don't know recruits will say it, but these are grown young men. They're competitors. It's not like Nolan is a wide receiver. It's going to be a different side of the ball. I think a lot of these young men want to make that decision based on what's best for them at this time and in this moment, and not because so-and-so is not going to be at the University of Georgia anymore.
Yeah, that's really well said, Jeff. Really good stuff as part of the Marlow's Tavern Tell-All. I know you're all over the place heading towards the start of the early signing period tomorrow. There is a lot of good news that's going to come for Georgia on that. And I promise we will cover it all, every dot and tittle, as it becomes available. But obviously, this is the dominant narrative of today. Your insight on this is invaluable because, as I said, you know the principles involved so closely. So we really appreciate that, Jeff. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at dognation.com and at the forum at forum.dognation.com. And we'll speak to you again here very soon as well.
All right, Dog Nation. Have yourself a great week.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
It is going to be very interesting to see what happens here over the course of the next couple of days. Ultimately, one way or another, I believe that Georgia is going to be a winning program for many years to come. What we're going to find out about a lot of recruits is, and a lot of players is, what's more important to you? The promise of getting a chance to be a part of something great and special, or the guarantee of early playing time? Because there are a lot of programs in the Southeast right now, both in the SEC and the ACC, but in this part of the country, neighboring programs to Georgia, that are in a position to beg recruits to come because they got nothing else. I mean, I'm not going to mention names of players. I'm not going to mention names of programs. But you can connect the dots here a little bit. There are programs that are in a position to beg for elite players because they are an absolute disaster. Some new coaches that are not exactly working out the way you think they might. Some old coaches who've gotten very stale. But the one thing they can promise is come here and we'll give you all the snaps. We'll put your face on the ticket. We'll put your face on the program. We'll give you everything you want. You can be the BMOC, the big man on campus here. We're going to find out if that's an attractive message to some players. Or if we're going to find out if being a part of something legendary is more attractive. You may not get your face on the program in year one, but you may get your name on a statue later on. You know, you may get your picture on a painting that hangs in somebody's house for 50 years from now because of the way that you can, you know, ingratiate yourself to the Dog Nation community. That life ain't for everybody because it's hard and it's slow and it's tedious and it's showing up to work every single day and grinding. Some people embrace that because of the ultimate reward. Some people reject that because of the knee-jerk opportunity to trade what they want now for what they actually might want most. So interesting to see how all this plays out. By the way, it's our SEC through here, and in terms of where Justin Fields could end up going, if indeed he does transfer, and we should remind you that Dog Nation has reported a confirmation that Fields has indeed spoken to Georgia about this. Dan Wilkin, USA Today, the first to report it. Chip Towers, good reporting last night at DogNation.com, speaking to a member of Fields' family, saying that no decision has been made as of yet. But Mike's reporting indicates that Fields has at least talked to Georgia about this. I'll invite you to check out all of that at DogNation.com and more on this story as it becomes available on DogNation.com. So let's operate here under the assumption for a moment that Fields might transfer. Where might he go? I think there are a few names that are going to immediately become available, and part of the reason why someone connected to Fields is going to try to play hardball here is because they want that unconditional release. They want the freedom to kind of go anywhere and do anything, and because some of the schools that Fields might want to consider most are schools that are, you know, close to the state of Georgia. You know, we know that Fields, going back to his 7-on-7 time, had a relationship with Cam Newton. We know that Auburn, Cam's alma mater, or school that he attended, was a suitor for Fields leading up to his ultimate decision to choose UGA. Auburn desperately needs a quarterback. With Jarrett Stidham leaving, with Kelly Bryant choosing to go to Missouri, Auburn is now down to guys like Malik Willis and Joey Gatewood. I mean, there is a clear opening for a guy like Fields, assuming he can get immediate eligibility, to kind of step in right there and be very comfortable in the Auburn situation. Obviously, Nix, the freshman's coming in, but Auburn's a school you got to consider. There was Twitter activity last night involving Ohio State, not coming from Ohio State, but coming from, you know, Quincy Avery, kind of a famous quarterback coach, saying, if I was a quarterback looking for a place to go, I'd want to go play for Ryan Day at Ohio State. Day is the replacement for Urban Meyer there in Columbus. Ohio State has been really good at recruiting quarterbacks. Look at the depth that program has right now. It's Dwayne Haskins, a starter, who put up, you know, record-setting numbers in the Big Ten. But Tate Martell as a backup and others, including the eventual starter at LSU at one point in time and connected to that Ohio State program, they've had great quarterback depth. That program has done a really good job of recruiting quarterbacks. Let's remember here as well, and this is probably the most painful of all for me to consider, let's remember as well that when Dan Mullen first got the Florida job, his essential first act as Florida coach was to go visit Justin Fields. Fields followed Mullen on Twitter, you'll remember, around that time. That got a lot of attention. Ultimately, that may have cost Dan Mullen Matt Corral, who was a Florida commit, flipped from Florida to Ole Miss, and we'll see how that works out for Corral. Ultimately, Florida signed Emory Jones, who, by the way, Mullen made a point of playing against Georgia this past season, showing his willingness to use a dual-threat freshman quarterback. You know, is Florida potentially a consideration here? There's obviously, a lot of other names will come up there, but that's obviously a lot of what we're paying attention to as Fields either moves forward with this or doesn't. But some of the biggest names in the sport, and likely anyone, would be certainly interested in Fields given his overall skill set. But for now, we'll make that your SEC through. And I want to kind of keep this conversation going with our Marlowe's Tavern recruiting minute here as we look more at how the field situation could impact UGA. And I want to go back to my conversation with Justin Fields back in the beginning of the month on the day of the SEC championship game after Georgia had lost, with Fields on the field for that pivotal play on the fake punt that went awry. And, listen, we got a job to do. People are curious about Justin Fields. And in that moment, even though Georgia had just come off playing a game, that's your chance to talk to Justin Fields. That's your chance to find out what's going to be set in motion for the rest of the month. So my duty, my job at that time is to ask Fields, are you coming back to Georgia? And can you put to rest all these rumors? And can you guarantee that you'll be on this team in 2019? That's the question that has to be asked. Fields is under no obligation to show his hand, but to his credit, he was at least somewhat candid with his response. Let's listen from the locker room of the SEC championship game.
Can you guarantee you'll be back at Georgia next season?
The season's not over with, so, we still have one more game left. So, we're really going to come back on Monday and just practice and just focus on the next game.
In that instance, the absence of a guarantee from Fields is essentially a confirmation that he's at least considering the possibility of going on and doing something else. And I don't fault him for answering the question the way that he did. And as I've said kind of over and over again, I don't necessarily even fault Fields for transferring. I think Georgia would be better off if he's on the team next season. I hope he stays. But I don't fault Fields for transferring, given the current climate of quarterbacks just sort of doing that. That is normal quarterback behavior. I don't want to relitigate everything off the top of the show, but my only grievance is with the way this is being handled with people who are apparently having some influence on Justin Fields, and quite possibly the way this might end up being covered by the national media. That's my grievance, and I've said my piece on that. But ultimately, Fields has every right to look around to see where he wants to go. And Georgia, given the intensity of the competition that exists here, given the depth of the roster, it's not for everybody. And Justin Fields, over the course of a few weeks, apparently, if you hear about the dissatisfaction that he expressed after the South Carolina game, he may have decided that Georgia's not for him. That's the case. I wish him well. I do think, though, that if Fields is on his way out the door, the more interesting discussion for Georgia is going to be, what does this mean for Georgia? We talked to Jeff about the recruiting angle, but that's more of a 2020 issue, more of a 2021 issue. For Georgia in 2019, the absence of Fields, even though I don't believe he's the starter on this team, and I don't believe he will. I wrote this at the forum last night at forum.dognation.com. Jake Fromm won the Georgia quarterback job. He played his best against the best team he's ever faced, the Alabama defense on December 1st. He made throws that would be inconceivable to even debate putting him on the bench. For now, Jake Fromm has won this job. But that doesn't mean that Georgia doesn't still need Justin Fields. It needs a quality, capable backup. Look no further than the team on the other sideline in that SEC championship game. Two consecutive years, the presence of two quarterbacks. It was Tua Tagovailoa as a backup last year, as you remember, and it's Jalen Hurts as a backup this year, as you're very well aware, were the difference maker for Alabama in that game. To say nothing of last season when Oklahoma had both Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, or Clemson that was able to briefly, transition to Chase Bryce when Trevor Lawrence was injured during the Pitt game earlier in this year. I mentioned Ohio State earlier with Haskins and Martell and a deep roster of quarterbacks. National championship contenders have multiple quarterbacks who are capable of being starters. With all due respect to anybody that Georgia might have beyond Jake Fromm next season, if Fields decides to leave, I don't believe that the Georgia backup is likely to be of the same caliber of what we've seen from the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Ohio States, the Oklahomas, those usual suspects who've competed for national championships in recent years. The Georgia backup quarterback situation next year is not going to be quite as deep as that if Fields does indeed transfer. Now, there's a chance that doesn't matter. There's a chance that Fromm doesn't ever get hurt, nor does he ever have to leave the game for any significant reason. And Georgia just rolls right along, developing a backup quarterback in a more traditional sense, not in a fire drill with a freshman for the fourth consecutive year. I mean, there's a chance it all plays out. But that's a couple times in the course of this conversation I've used the word chance. Chance is another way of saying luck. Without a backup quarterback of the caliber of Justin Fields, Georgia will be leaning a bit on luck for 2019. And luck is not necessarily the greatest recipe for success. So ultimately, all I can promise to Justin Fields, were he to decide to return, at this point in time it looks unlikely that he will, all I could promise him is a chance to be a very capable backup, ready to step in at a moment's notice, and hopefully the performance for Georgia wouldn't drop off very much. It could very well turn out that's not going to be enough for Fields. If that's the case, I wish him well. But it becomes very important for Georgia to decide what it's going to do next. All right, let's get ready to wrap up. And I said this to Jeff Sintel a moment ago, and I do believe this is true. There is going to be a lot of good news coming over the course of the next couple of days. And I think that Kirby, one of the things that he does well, even though I don't believe he's beyond reproach in this whole field situation, but one of the things I think he does do well is he does manage PR pretty well. And he's in a PR battle, whether he knows it or not. Some unseen force right now is trying to create a PR message around the Justin Fields situation. I think Georgia's got a duty to combat that. Here's what I'd like to see. As guys commit tomorrow and ultimately sign, I hope Georgia floods the zone. Every recruit, every signee, I just hope everybody comes out of the woodworks. Commit to the G, UGA, whatever the message hashtag ends up being. Georgia's got a duty to do that, and I think they'll do it well. By the way, 780 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beat Georgia. Even on a day like this, that's still pretty good news. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.